35. Freedom gained, freedom lost.
I might tout the Gangolin as the ultimate conjuration, but they do have their weaknesses, particularly an inability to function in frigid temperatures. Even while one is enthralled, a conjurer will have trouble maintaining control, not to mention the mental anguish shared through the bond.
From Kolvinar Vryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 248. After claiming the conjured Yeltis from Felinia, Ildin created 5 illusions of himself. Each contained a dense cluster of dispelling magic. Such a tactic was used by illusionists to conceal destructive blasts, but Ildin thought it just as useful for veiling a dispel. Once the illusions were flying through the camp, Ildin commanded the 5 Cisthern and the lone Yeltis to follow him. If he were to confront Vaim, he would most definitely need them. Focused through his illusions, Ildin hurried through the camp. A jumble of conversations assailed the illusions. Men and women talked of Tevisrals. The survivors from the first half spoke of the monster, relaying details of the battle that had occurred after the expedition was separated. Unfortunately, he neither heard nor saw Vaim among those in the camp. His illusions zipped about, flying above the tents and the congregation near the mess area. Kalamir and Keidel were also missing. Where else could they be? Ildin and the conjurations were near the camp when one of his illusions zipped past the rows and columns of Tevisrals. The scholars who had accompanied his part of the expedition were sorting them. Dougal and Jacob were among the scholars, hefting several large rectangular objects of intricate design. Those Tevisrals were longer than a man's leg and were as thick as one's thigh. But where were Morjadayan and Sylas?
"Dougal!"
Ildin called through his illusion. The transmuter jumped, dropped the odd Tevisral, and looked up.
"Don't ever do that,"
Dougal said, exhaling loudly. Ildin fought back a smile. "Sorry, but have you seen Vaim?" Dougal shook his head.
"Morjadayan was saying something about her before he and Sylas ran off."
He pointed to the grassy plain beside the mess area.
"They went that way."
Ildin turned the illusion, following Dougal's gesture. The vine-covered tower caught his eye. Had Sylas taken Morjadayan to the tower? Could Vaim be there too? Maraudin had probably mentioned the 3-dimensional map of Tartalim during their ascent. If he hadn't, Vendar would have said something about it. He sent an illusion flying toward the tower. He set the other illusions to continue sweeping through the camp while he uttered an enhancing incantation. If Vaim and the others were in the tower, then he and the conjurations would need to get there quickly. White particles soon appeared and seeped into his legs, quickening his gait. After deactivating the shift, Vaim and Keidel had moved on to disabling Tartalim's other defenses. Unfortunately, many of the functions could not be stopped. The most irritating of all was the barrier preventing conjuration magic from forming within Tartalim. Supposing that something might be wrong with their terminals, Vaim and Keidel checked the others throughout the room. To her dismay, none permitted access to the other functions.
"What do we do now?"
Keidel asked. Vaim took in a deep breath and closed her eyes.
"We move on to the 4th tier. The Emperor has requested we free certain gods. Their locations should be in the records portion of this tower."
The lieutenant nodded once before picking her way across the room. She wove around the terminals but stopped short of the 7-sided archway. Vaim narrowed her eyes.
"Why is she?"
Footsteps carried through the curved hallway and Vaim drew her lips to a line. The footsteps grew louder. Then 3 mages appeared beyond the archway, some of Amandal's friends, the burly Barjanist, that homely Arpranist, and one of the illusionists.
"What are you doing here?"
Keitel demanded, straightening her back. The burly Barjanist turned to her, a scowl on his face.
"I could ask you the same."
He sounded fierce and determined.
"What have you done to the shift?" the illusionist asked.
Bayam raised an eyebrow.
How does he know what we've done?
I don't know what you're planning,
the Bartianist said, turning to Bayam,
but it can't be good. Now relinquish your hold on the commander and come with us.
Bayam flinched.
You have no authority over us, Keitel said, moving her hand to her sword's hilt. Back away!
The three mages shook their heads almost in unison.
If you don't come peacefully, the Bartianist stepped toward Keitel, we will bring you back by force.
Keitel lunged toward the Bartianist, drawing her blade. As her sword sang through the air, the Bartianist uttered an incantation. The illusionist also mustered his magic. The incantation sounded like a dispel.
Stop him,
Bayam commanded, pointing to the mage now surrounded by white particles.
But don't kill him.
Calamir obeyed, bounding across the room while drawing his sword. He twirled his blade so its fuller rested along his forearm. The illusionist spun, but before he could finish his incantation, Calamir bashed him with the flat side of his sword. The blow sent the mage flying. Yelling a battle cry, Calamir spun toward the Arpranist. He swung the pommel toward the woman, striking her in the face. She screamed, and Calamir charged at the illusionist once again, yelling a battle cry.
Good, Bayam thought. He can keep them preoccupied.
She touched a silver rivet below the thumb of her right glove, the Euphoronizer's activating mechanism. A tingling sensation surged across her gloved hand, following the Tevisrol's emitter strands woven along the glove's fingers. Faint pink light shone from the silver band rimming the glove's cuff, manifesting without sound. While the Tevisrol activated, Bayam picked her way across the room. Grunts, incantations, and screams carried from the hall. Several paces from the archway, Calamir loomed over the illusionist. The commander's sword was bloodied, and the mage lay on the ground, clutching his leg and screaming. Had the man tried to run? She darted a glance to Keitel. The lieutenant swung her blade at the Bartianist, but the burly man dodged her blows with ease. He tumbled sideways, still mustering his magic. Keitel swung as she charged, but bright blue light burst from the Bartianist, striking the lieutenant's legs. The blue magic instantly became a band of Bartian that toppled Keitel. The tingling ceased along Bayam's hand, indicating the Tevisrol was ready. Now several paces from the archway, she ran toward the Bartianist. The man spun to face her and backed away, uttering another incantation.
Oh, no, you don't,
she shouted, dashing into the curved hall. The Bartianist eyed her glove, his face tensing. She was no more than a leap away when he turned to run. He had fled only partway down the hall before Bayam caught up to him, her fingers grazing the back of his robe. The brief touch made the Tevisrol discharge, and a sudden surge squeezed her hand as if the glove had tightened. Faint pink light shot from her fingertips and into the Bartianist's robe, abruptly stilling him mid-motion. They collided and fell to the ground, face first. She landed atop his back, and the man groaned in ecstasy.
Look at me,
Bayam said, sliding off his back while reaching for his face. She grabbed his chiseled chin, forcing his eyes to hers.
Oh, Bayam.
His face contorted into a yearning expression. If this were any other time, Bayam would gladly enjoy the man's company.
Dismiss your Bartian, she commanded, and subdue your friends. Then I'll give you pleasure.
The Bartianist leapt to his feet, twisting his hand in a dismissal while uttering another incantation. Bayam rose as blue light tinged her vision, and an enraged cry filled the hall, coming from Calamir. Keitel, now freed, pushed herself from the ground. The lieutenant ran to the ugly woman who was attempting to pry Calamir from the illusionist. While the Bartian coalesced beside her, Bayam eyed her glove. Never had she needed to activate the Euphoronizer so soon after using it, nor had she ever envisioned doing so.
Hopefully it isn't a problem, she thought, pressing on the glove's silver rivet.
Ilden had finished enhancing the last cistern when his illusion reached the top of the tower. To his surprise, Fendar was gone. Only his illusion remained, hovering in place within the lair representing Tartalim's 25th floor.
Fendar! Ilden called. Have you seen Morjadain or Sylas?
The illusion didn't move.
Fendar!
Finally, the illusion turned.
Help!
The word was laced with pain. Ilden started.
Where? Where are you?
Fendar's illusion zipped from the bridge, plummeting along the tower. Ilden commanded his illusion to follow. Fendar's reflection stopped halfway up the third tier, pointing to the overgrown wall.
Hang on, Ilden said through his illusion. I'm coming.
Running as fast as he could, Ilden bolted from the camp.
With me,
he sent the command to his illusions and his enthralled conjurations. The Cisthorns galloped ahead while the Yeltis bounded behind them and the four illusions shot from the camp. With the illusions now beside him, Ilden chased after his enthralled conjurations, darting around tree-like building after tree-like building. Soon the tower came into view. He sent his illusions flying to the tower's entrance, but the door was closed.
Oh, great, he grumbled between breaths, his voice echoing from his illusions. Why can't you be open?
The door glowed, then slid apart. Ilden blinked in disbelief, but quickly regained his composure.
Inside, he commanded the illusions.
They zipped into the pristine corridor, entering the seven-sided room before Ilden and the conjurations reached the tower. He commanded the Cisthorn to enter, but ordered the Yeltis to remain outside. The beast was too big to fit inside the tower anyway. Though the tower's entrance was only a few dozen finials away, it felt much farther. His heart pounded from exertion and worry. What had happened to Fendar? He had sounded pained. Had something dangerous been lurking in the tower? Or was Vaim responsible for Fendar's predicament? And were Morjadain and Sylas with him? If so, were they hurt too? Finally, he ran through the tower's entrance and the door shut, clipping his boot. Ilden stumbled and fell to the floor.
That was close.
He took in a deep breath, sprang to his feet, and then darted through the hall after the five Cisthorns. As he ran, he considered the predicament ahead of him. He had only five dispels, barely enough to wash through a small room or part of a hallway. The Cisthorns could attack, but how many could he bring with him? The lifts were not large enough to fit them all.
Perhaps I should muster some ensnaring tentacles.
He could free his friends with the dispels if they were bound by magic, and the Cisthorns could attack or act as a barrier while he unleashed his ensnaring magic.
That'll do, he thought, and began uttering an incantation.
He brought his hands to his chest as green light swirled between his palms, forming tiny strands that wove together. Ilden soon entered the seven-sided room and came to a halt, studying the glowing doors that led to the various lifts. But which lift went to the third tier? The farthest one on the left ascended to the top, and the middle on the right led to the fourth tier. He glanced to his immediate left, then stepped toward the door. It opened at his presence, and he willed his illusions inside the lift. They fluttered to the ceiling, making room for him and the Cisthorns. But only two of the beasts fit inside. Still mustering his magic, Ilden pressed himself against the wall, near those strange lines of symbols. Ever careful, he turned, extending a finger to the middle row. All the while, the ensnaring magic continued to form, becoming thicker strands. The doors shut as Ilden neared the end of his incantation. He exhaled the last bit, humming the first sound of the last word. The doors sprang open. Pained screams and ferocious cries flooded into the lift.
Go!
The command caused the magic to flicker, but Ilden quickly regained his focus. His illusions zipped through the open doors and into a hallway aligned with the lift. Both Cisthorns galloped ahead, and Ilden darted after them, focused through his illusions. He started in surprise as the illusions entered a curved hallway. Commander Kalamir had Fendar pinned to the ground, his armored forearm pressed against the illusionist's mouth. Fendar held his left leg with bloodied hands. The illusionist tried to roll away, but the commander dug his knee into Fendar's chest. Beside Fendar, Sylas lay on the ground, her entire body surrounded by a band of Barjan. Vaim loomed over the Arpranist, reaching a gloved hand to Sylas's face. And Morjadayan? The Barjanist was gazing at Vaim with lustful eyes. Regaining his composure, Ilden redirected his illusions. They shot through the room, colliding with his friends, Kalamir and Vaim. An enraged cry left Vaim's lips as the illusions exploded in a brilliant flash of white light. Ilden's shared vision with them ceased, but he felt the dispelling particles spreading throughout the commander and the others. The Barjan around Sylas, however, was too thick to be dispelled and merely flickered. Light faded as Ilden skidded to a halt. Both Cisthorns stopped beside him, snarling and baring their teeth.
In a crystallized moment, he locked gazes with Bayham. She glared at him with a fury more intense than he'd ever seen. Her fierce violet eyes evoked a terrifying sensation that was akin to needles filling his stomach.
"You insolent fool!"
Ilden exhaled the last of his ensnaring incantation, and the bald strands shot toward Vayam. He willed them to expand, and Vayam tried to dodge, but several green tendrils grabbed her. She screamed as the magic jolted her backward, dragging her across the stone floor. Ilden turned to Kaidal, who was now retreating. He willed the ensnaring tentacles toward the lieutenant, and several expanding strands soared through the air, sweeping her legs out from under her. The ensnaring magic latched to the curved wall, and both Mandalorians were pulled into the main mass, their arms and legs bound. They shouted threats, Vayam more vehement than Kaidal, but he ignored them.
"Oh, Fendar,"
Sylas cried, struggling against the Barjan wrapped around her. She uttered an incantation, Arpran light gathering beneath her bonds. Mojadian staggered, raising a hand to his forehead.
What was that?
He looked about, then waved his hand towards Sylas, causing the Barjan to dissipate.
"You ruined everything," Vayam shouted. "Oh, you cannot fathom what you've done."
Ilden hurried to his fellow illusionist, who was now freed from Kalamir. Fendar groaned between coughs, his face swelling and his leg gushing blood. Eyeing the wounds, Ilden knelt beside Fendar, pressing his hands on his friend's leg. Fendar screamed, and Ilden's hands were soon covered in blood.
"You're going to be fine," Ilden said with reassurance.
Pained groans carried over his shoulder, but Ilden ignored them. Fendar thrashed as Sylas, glowing with green light, knelt beside him. As the rejuvenating magic surrounded Fendar, Ilden glanced to the source of the groaning. Commander Kalamir was curled on the stone floor, clutching his head.